Much of what we have sung in praise and shared in testimony and rejoiced in things that the Lord has done, as at the ladies with the ladies and the time they had together. And imagine that, he can minister to Yvonne all by herself. Isn't it wonderful? The Lord is good. The Lord is so good to us. And I read earlier as we were starting from 1 Peter, and some of this was spoken again a little bit later in testimony. But the Lord is the thing I am very concerned, and I think we all are concerned about the world, the way that the world is becoming darker and darker and more, is the word insane? I think that's not too strong a word. Without reason, without truth, without love, without care for one another, not without love for one another. There's care, but not anyway,
Antichrist,
very Antichrist, amen. And we as God's people are able, he calls upon us, and here in this letter of Peter, epistle of Peter, he speaks about things which we can't do in ourselves. And that's what I really want. That's what I want to talk about this morning. I think I've said similar things about from other passages, but the Lord's speaking here, and in 1 Peter chapter 1, and he says through Peter, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. How can this be? We know, and as I read in Romans a couple of weeks ago, we struggle with the sin that besets us, and we must have a Savior, and so we do have a Savior. And he is calling us to be holy, for I am holy. Well, he's not, what I want to say is that holiness is his holiness. And I you know that. That's been said today. His holiness is our holiness. That's all, the only way we can be holy is in him. And I shared a number of weeks ago, about abiding in the Lord, abiding in Christ, abiding together as a church. We do abide in our Lord, and it is only through our Lord that we can be fed and be made holy. He does by his power, through his power and his love and care, he feeds us. He waters us. He quenches our thirst. He oversees our walking in his life. And just as it was mentioned about, well, I think it was about Yvonne, was at least one reference. The Lord knows what he's doing. And it may not be exactly what we think it ought to be. And we may not even like it very much. But the Lord is doing and accomplishing his purpose. And he has had his purpose has been from the beginning. From before the foundations of the earth, his purpose was declared in the Godhead. And it is being carried out and continuing to be carried out even now. And our Lord Jesus came and he accomplished all the work that God the Father had set for him to do. And to make it possible that we can walk in his victory and be in his triumph and be holy. Because we are redeemed in verse 18 here, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. He has redeemed us, and he has redeemed us. Part of our problem, part of my problem in understanding what the Lord is doing is I judge by how I have been trained and raised up and been in this world, that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil still wants me to bow down and worship it. And do I know good? Do I know evil? Yes, I see those things. But it is not, he isn't trying to change that in me. He is causing us to know him and to be, can you imagine? We're called to be holy, but it's beyond our ability as in our flesh. There is, as he says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. The enemy wants to tell us there is condemnation. The enemy wants us to believe that our problems are of our own making and that we deserve punishment. And we do not. We cannot. He has paid it. He has done the work. His precious blood, it is not perishable. The ways of the futile ways of the life inherited from your forefathers. That's the knowledge of good and evil. But with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead, and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. Well, there it is. We need to trust him. We can trust him. He is trustworthy. He has done everything at beyond measure to pay the price for our sinful nature, give us an opportunity to be in his presence and to walk with him and to offer up sacrifices of praise and give glory to him. Give glory to the Father who has done these things, who has made the way, who has accepted. Jesus made the sacrifice and the Father accepted it. His blood has made us clean and pure. What I want to What I'm wanting to try to communicate is that he calls upon us to be holy as he is holy. He calls upon us to trust him, to stand upon him as the rock, to believe. And he puts it in our sight. He shows us himself. He opens our eyes and our ears, and he explains, he gives to us understanding of his word, which is forever. In chapter 2, verse 4 of 1 Peter, coming to him as a living stone, I've read this last week or a couple weeks ago, I think. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I'm going to pause there for a moment. You see, it is these spiritual sacrifices. We have been made alive in the Spirit. We are not living according to the flesh. He has raised us up. We have been made alive in him. We are as a living stone. We came to him as the living stone, rejected by men. But we also, verse 5, are as you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. That's God's work. That is the Holy Spirit using us, walking with us, causing us to grow, putting us, fitting us into place, and causing us to rejoice together in what he has done, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Those spiritual sacrifices are praise and worship and glory, that we may walk with him and trust him and be cared for by him. We cannot do it ourselves. We can only do it because he is the one doing it. And it is us, our desire, and he calls upon us to believe in him, and that he says in John, that is the work that he calls us to do. What is the work of God? The Pharisees asked. They wanted to know. And Jesus tells them to believe in the one whom he has sent. Well, the one whom he has sent is the Christ, the sacrifice, the perfect one, the one who shed his blood and gave it for us. Believe in him. Trust in him. Trust in him even if... We're going to struggle, but he is going to bring us through. He asks us to call upon him, to let him feed us, to let him raise us up. He tells us of himself, and he calls us together as a body of believers. And together, just as individually, he loves us and shares his life with us and shares his victory with us and shows us that what the enemy seeks to lay upon us is a lie. And he has overcome the world. He has overcome in all ways. You also, as living stones, verse 5, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are a kingdom of priests. He has made us so. And what does a priest do? What does this priesthood involve? Well, there, right after he says that about a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. He will lead us. He will, you know, Patsy's testimony, Yvonne's testimony, the testimony of all the brothers and sisters as we gather together, that is being a priest. We are being a priest because we're standing before God and speaking his what he is telling us and giving us to do. He is making us to be able to carry. We don't carry anything. He has to carry it. But he has made us to be able to be his priests. To be living stones built together. Verse 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. That is where we are. That is who we are. That we may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are surrounded by darkness, and we know this. We are not arguing with, we do not have to defeat the darkness. His light shining through us defeats the darkness. He has called us out of that darkness into his marvelous light that we might see. For you were once not a people, verse 10, and now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Peter goes on to say, in verse 11, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. We are, as spiritual people, we are aliens and strangers. Our spiritual life was thrown down by Adam and Eve when they fell in the garden. And it has been restored in Jesus. We're unable to make ourselves do better. But he, through us, accomplishes his purpose. And by leading us, by embracing us, by causing us to see and to come together and to partake of his holy food and his true drink, we are made anew. Our spiritual life is renewed, and we are able to offer up sacrifice of praise and worship, true sacrifice, true praise, true worship, giving him glory because we believe and trust him. As we trust him, we walk in him. And he makes it possible. I can't do it, but in him I can. It can be done. I did want to, the point I want to come to is that we are spiritual beings because of Jesus. And it is because of his work and his power and his desire for us to know him and to walk in his way. He has caused us to see and to know and to be able to do what only he can do. I'm struggling here to try to decide. I have more in Ephesians. I'll just touch on it. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, tells them and us, in verse 8, chapter 5, verse 8, you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. We are walking in him and makes us children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. That's where we are. We are walking as children of light. We have been called into the light by him, and we are made children of the light. And he is causing the fruit of the light to come forth from us, goodness and righteousness and truth. And he is calling us to try to learn what is, that's, this is abiding, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Because he has, he protects us, he cares for us, he keeps us, he feeds us, he waters us. He is the good shepherd, and we are trying to learn. We can come to him, and if you don't understand, that's, he will help us to understand. He is not, we do not have to accomplish the understanding that he will give us. He will cause it to be, and we will be able to rest in it. We will be able to rejoice in it. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. He is able to shine his light and cause us to awaken. Verse 14, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He wants us to know. He is making it possible for us to know. He draws us together, and he draws us, sets us apart, that we may know him, that his ways can touch us and make his ways our ways. It's not by reasoning. It's not by recognizing, gee, that would be a really good thing to do. It's because he is doing it, and he is the Holy One. And so as we are gathered together, in verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Our gatherings together are led by the Lord, and it has been our intention as we have gathered to be led of the Holy Spirit, not by our own thoughts. And as one who has made many mistakes, thinking I understood what the Spirit was saying, throw in a clunker. It happens, and we learn, and we see, and he makes it so that we can see, and he has made it that we are not liable to punishment because there is no more punishment to be laid out. It has been taken entirely by him. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you. Much focus in Ephesians chapter 5 has been placed on the role of wives and husbands. And I'm not altogether sure that sometimes we maybe may put too much emphasis on that. I don't want to miss what the Lord has, but what he is saying, I see here, at least part of what I see here in verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. It's the as to the Lord that's what's important. It's not subjection that is what causes us to struggle. It's not husbands, in verse 25, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Don't focus on what you're doing as a husband and miss just as Christ also loved the church. What he wants us to know about being husbands and wives, he has done and is doing in the church, and he gave himself up for her. He wants us to give ourselves up for each other and to him, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing, her being the church. He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. This is his work. This is his desire. He wants us to dwell in his holiness and righteousness. In verse 31, for this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery, verse 32, is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. We have questions. We have things that we learn and understand and need to know about the husband and the wife, God bringing Adam and Eve together, causing a man to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. At the level of earth, it is marvelous and wonderful, and we have seen and enjoyed the life that we see that Jesus gives to us as in our marriages. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Right there, he is saying, it's not just about what you see and do in your flesh in this world. He does that. He accomplishes that. He causes that to be. He gives that to us that we might see him and know him better, know him more. But what he's truly, it's not for us to do a better job of being husbands and wives. It's to know Christ and the church. I'm going to end there. The Lord loves us and cares for us and does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He wants us to enjoy him and to enjoy him in each other, and to know and to rejoice and be thankful and cause a sweet-smelling aroma, an incense to rise, and a light to be around us, that we might be a testimony to the world, and that through that, through his power, we may be able to share and to know and to give his call to anyone that we come in contact with. He wants us to know. He wants them to know. He wants the world to know. And yes, there's great darkness, and there will be difficulties. Don't know exactly what they're going to be, but it's pretty clear right now that, you know, the world is spiraling in an irreversible spiral towards the end. When will that be? The Lord will prepare us and will lead us there. Should we be trying to anticipate what he's doing? I don't know. I don't know that we can. But we can see him. We can know him. We can share with one another and encourage one another and be safe in Christ. Lord, we ask you to help us to understand it. Help us to walk in the way you would have us walk. Help us to know and to trust you and to come to understand. Help us, Lord. Give us the faith. You are the author and finisher of faith. Lord, help us to have faith to know that you have made us holy, to know that we are righteous, to know that we are standing on the foundation, the rock. We ask you, Lord, to help us that we might know you as the way, the truth, and the life. We praise your holy name. Amen.